Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Vicki Winterton with Expert Insights Publishing, a member of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, where global authorities and those on the rise meet for instant influence. And I am so psyched and so excited today because we are welcoming Bert Martinez, who is our publicist and the co-author of the new book, Ready, Aim, Excel. For those of you who have not had the pleasure of meeting Bert, Bert is a world-recognized thought leader in marketing, business development, and publicity. Bert's acumen as a marketing and business expert is grounded in more than 30 years of advising individuals and large enterprises on business and business development in both routine situations and those that are really challenged with risks and high stakes. He arrived in America at age 6 from Cuba and retired at age 28. Bert is also a sought-after speaker and CEO of Bert Martinez Communications. His practice specializes in teaching organizations about consumer buying philosophy, latest trends, and how they're applied to marketing, publicity, and business development. So today, Bert's going to share with us some of the best strategies for getting your message out to the world, particularly around your book, how to develop a press release that'll truly get noticed, some secrets for distribution channels that will blow you away, and also answer your questions on how to make the media truly work for you. Patrick Snow, the New York Times bestselling author of Creating Your Own Destiny, says you can't afford not to know what Bert Martinez is teaching. So we are so thrilled to have you here with us, Bert.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that very warm introduction. I'm excited to be here and to discuss publicity and marketing with everyone. So thank you very much.
Well, Bert, let's start out by, can you share with us like the number one secret method to get your message out in a powerful way?
Absolutely. 80% of everyone's success as far as getting publicity has to do with the headline. And so I want to make that abundantly clear. If you get nothing else out of this call, 80% of your publicity success comes down to having an attention-grabbing headline. And if you have some questions, if you want to get some ideas of headlines, they can contact me at Bert, B-E-R-T, Bert at BertMartinez.com. And so anyway, let's explore the headline. So when we are scanning a newspaper or magazine, the thing that stops us is an attention-grabbing headline. And if you watch or listen to the news, they give you sound bites in these attention-grabbing headlines. They never come out and tell you what the scoop is. They want you to hold on and tune into the next segment. So, again, they lead you on with this attention-grabbing headline. And so, you know, sometimes it's people are a little apprehensive to use an outrageous headline because they feel it's unprofessional or it may be grabbing what they consider too much attention. And nothing could be further from the truth. An outrageous headline is okay as long as you can tie it into the material or into the segment that you're trying to promote. So, for example, we did a headline. We came out with a pitch that said pizza cures common cold, and it obviously was done for a pizza client, and it garnered them some great attention. It got them written up in the Pizza Monthly Quarterly, PMQ. And the reason why it garnered so much attention is because it was an outrageous headline, pizza cures common cold. Well, so that was the attention-grabbing headline. And then underneath that, it was explaining how this pizza cures the common cold. And what the whole thing was about was a pizza that was heavily laden with garlic. And garlic is known to have antioxidants and help cure the common cold and unclog your face or your nose. And so, again, we all know as humans that a pizza probably really cannot cure the common cold. But the headline was so attention-grabbing, it was so outrageous that it stopped people in their tracks. And better than that, it got the pizza store some publicity. And even better than that, it got them increased sales during the cold and flu season. So this is something that we did a year or so ago. So again, 80% of your success is going to be in that outrageous, attention-grabbing headline. And some of the headlines that I've come up with for this book is something like, Doctors Save the Planet. And again, it's just made to get people to stop, look, or listen, and dig a little bit deeper. How are these doctors saving the planet? And after that, I'm going to get into the next segment here. So let's talk about press releases and how to best use them. Press releases are a great tool, and they can be used several different ways. They can be used to garner media attention, and they can also be used to garner website traffic. And again, a good press release, 80% of a good press release is going to be in the headline. And one that I did a few months back that was republished several times on Google News, and I believe it received something like, within the first day, it received something like 2,500 hits or views. And that is, I came up with the headline that said, White House uses sneaky online marketing trick. And so what somebody had brought to my attention was that when you go to whitehouse.gov for the first time, it asks you to list your name and email address so you can get updates. And very covertly almost, in very small print, there was a little button that said you could skip that. But for millions of people that go to whitehouse.gov, they're going to immediately do what they're asked to do, which is put in their name and their email address so they can get updates from the White House and also so they can get access to whitehouse.gov. Well, again, I thought this was great. I thought it was good marketing, and it was what we consider internet marketing type tactics. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just something that I didn't expect to see from the White House. And so I put together a press release, put it out there. It got picked up by several organizations. It got reprinted, I don't know, maybe half a dozen times or so. Some additional website traffic. I did get interviewed by one media person. They ended up not using the material, but it got, like I said, a little bit of a buzz going off just that one headline. And it got republished several times. So the best way to use a press release, again, you want to start off with an outrageous or attention-grabbing headline. There are several places that you can post or distribute your press release. Webpress.com is a good one. They're very good, very strong, and I like them because they're not very expensive. You can get, I think, a very good service, a good large amount of distribution for under $50. There is PR Newswire that's very well known and very strong. There's more like $400. And so you can just look around and see which press release service is going to be best for you. Now, the next part is when you're dealing with a press release, you're looking at, you want to make sure you have a decent sub-headline. And again, that is a little bit more focused. And then you want to kind of keep everything to one page if possible. I've seen press releases that are 3 and 4 pages long, and they don't get much of attention because nobody has that much time. So you want to make sure that your press release, if possible, is all on one page, and that your contact information is on that one page at the bottom. And other than that, there's really no real trick to a press release. There is a formal press release template that I'll be glad to share with you guys. Again, bert@bertmartinez.com. And other than that, I've seen press releases that had misspellings that garnered a lot of media attention, and then I've seen some very professional press releases that were perfect in every way, except that they had no headline or they simply weren't newsworthy. I'll give you an example of a really poor headline. A poor headline or a poor press release is, you know, Bert Martinez releases new book. That doesn't grab attention. There's approximately 500 new books released every week, maybe even closer to 1,000 nowadays because it's gotten so much easier to do. So releasing a book isn't newsworthy. Maybe releasing a book that cures the common cold, well, that's attention grabber. That might grab an attention. Again, whatever your headline is, must be supported by the rest of your materials. So if you have nothing to do, if you have no way of tying in the attention-grabbing headline with your materials, then obviously don't do that. Another poor example of a press release is Walmart opens new store in XYZ city. That's not newsworthy. Now, Walmart hires 400 new people. That might be more newsworthy than the store opening. So let's talk about a specific tool called a pitch letter. And so a lot of people, and I want to clarify this, so you have a press release, which used to be the main tool for getting media attention, and not so much anymore. It still works. It's not as good simply because, again, everybody now can access some form of PR distribution, and therefore news organizations are over-inundated with press releases. So you have to have a really smoking press release to break through all the other press releases that are being sent out. So the best tool nowadays is a pitch letter. And a pitch letter is very similar to a press release. It's got that attention-grabbing headline. It may have some bullets instead of paragraphs. It may have some bullets, some suggestions for an editorial copy or a TV show, or a news program, and the main difference is a press release is really sent out in a what's called a shotgun distribution or a wide distribution, and you're not focused on any one particular news organization. Where a pitch letter, you're going to make that personal. It's going to be addressed to either an editor or a producer or a reporter, and you're simply going to tell that reporter or that media entity, you're basically suggesting them or you're pitching an idea to them. You're simply saying, hey, would you like to know the secrets of being really happy in life? That's a pretty good, you know, that's not a bad idea. It's not a bad show, especially that we're still in January. Resolutions are being thrown around. So how to be happy in 2012 and beyond might be a pretty good headline. And then after that, your subtitle might be author expert so-and-so will tell your audience how to be happy in 2012 and beyond by following, you know, three simple steps. And then you would follow that up with maybe some bullets, as in to maybe the three or four steps or some of the reasons why people can't find happiness and how to avoid those and some of the other topics or subtopics you may cover during this segment. And so that may get you an interview with a newspaper or some other media organization, and they want to know your secrets to happiness. They want to know the secrets to success or whatever you're pitching to them. And so really the best tool for today's media is a personal pitch letter followed up, you know, via email, followed up with a phone call or two or three. The great thing about the media is that if they're going to use your stuff, they typically will tell you, yes, I'm going to use it, or no, we're not. And don't be offended if they don't use it. It doesn't mean that you can't ever pitch them again. In fact, you can tell that contact person, reporter, editor, producer, hey, I would like to pitch stuff to you on a regular basis. What kind of things are you interested in? Better yet, if you've done some research and you know that their audience is interested in XYZ, then be proactive. Say, hey, Mr. Media Person, Mrs. Media Person, I understand that your show has to deal with people that are interested in health and wealth and beauty. Is that correct? Great. Well, I have some other ideas that I would like to present to you regarding health and beauty and wealth. And would that be okay for me to send them to you? And they'll tell you yes or no. Or they'll tell you this is how you get to us, or this is really what we're interested in. And believe it or not, when you're dealing with the media at large, it's no different than dealing with anybody else. You have to make a bunch of phone calls to get a few contacts and build even fewer relationships. And the reason why is because all of these organizations are being trimmed down, I mean, by literally hundreds. I've done a lot of work for Fox News, and Fox News is using robots and replaced, I want to say, about 80% of their cameramen by robots. So now one cameraman can do the job of four or five, and they can make. And so when you're looking at a Fox TV show and you're looking at all these different camera angles, it's typically one person doing all the same camera angles. It used to be one person for every camera angle. And so they're trimming down their workforce tremendously. Reporters and producers have to do a lot more of the running around. And so they're extremely busy. And so you have to contact them several times, make an impression, and really just make a friend. And it's like anything else. If you can build the relationship, then they will give you news exposure as long as you're delivering good content. And one of the big mistakes that a lot of people do when they contact the media, they talk about their book. They talk about their expertise. They talk about what they want. And it's okay to talk about your expertise as long as it pertains to their audience. And so remember, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about their audience, how the public that they serve. So if you're talking to a business TV show, they're going to have a different audience if you're talking to somebody like Rachel Ray or Oprah or the doctors or something like that. And so you have to skew your material to fit that or to fit that that audience. And sometimes you can take the same material and you can repurpose it and it'll fit two or three different audiences. And sometimes it won't, and that's okay. If you know what your niche is and you focus on that and you're the expert for business or health or wealth or relationships and that's all you want to focus on, well, the good news is there's only thousands and thousands of places that will like to look at your information. And it's just a matter of sending them an email, following up, making a phone call, follow up some more, and you'll get the interviews that you deserve. So don't worry about it. It takes a little time. It takes a little practice, but it does work, and it works well. And one of the great things about it is once you get in the loop with some of these organizations, then you're on their list, and they'll come back to you, and they'll work with you, and you can have a long-standing relationship.
Bert, I had a question. If you could direct us to the most possible effective way of finding who would be interested in whatever your subject matter is. Are there some resources out there to do the research now that are better than others?
That's a great question. So research is very important, and what I like to do is I personally will go after the shows that I know about. Now, there are, again, like I was mentioning, there are thousands of shows. When you open up Canada, there's literally tens of thousands of shows, and they splinter in every possible direction. And now, because everything's on 24/7, you have a lot of variety. So there's not one specific place to go look at. The only thing I can tell you is that there are several specific places. Now, one of the things that you can do that will help you get media attention is you can sign up for a service called Reporter Connection. And you can go to freepublicity.com, I think, and they're both intertwined. And this and Reporter Connection is simply connecting reporters. What will happen? Reporters with people like us who want to be experts for the media. And so what that means is simply they will have what's called a query or questions. Reporters will say, hey, I'm looking for an expert to talk to about XYZ. And they'll usually have a deadline. And all you have to do is fill out your form, your information, why they should have you on the air. Hey, I've written a book. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've won this award. And then the reporter can get back to you with that. And typically those things are only good for a few hours because they're on deadline. A query may come out and you only have really a couple hours to respond depending on how live that segment is, if it's going to go in print in a couple of days or if it's going to be something for a newscast that they're going to do later that day, then again, you have maybe a couple hours or you might have a whole day or two depending on where it's going to be used at. The other source that I like to go to is, again, I find my favorite shows. I'll contact my favorite shows and I'll say, who do I contact for this? Who is the, and you want to ask for the associate producer, is typical for TV shows. And the way the pecking order works is you have an associate producer. If the associate producer likes your stuff, they will bump it up to the executive producer, who ultimately makes the decision. If you're looking at a talk show like Ellen DeGeneres or Conan O'Brien, depending on what you're talking about, they'll have a producer for talent. And so you can call and say, hey, who's the producer that I would speak to, or the associate producer I would talk to regarding talent? And those people tend to hire, sometimes they'll hire experts, but a lot of times they hire entertainers that want to come on the show for specific segments. The Today Show actually has an associate producer for health and an associate producer for money. And so, again, you can call the shows up, and they'll be glad to give you the information. And in some cases, they will have, you know, they'll have a general email like story@thetodayshow.com. And that's not a real email. I'm just making that up. But they may have a general email, and you have to, again, send them via email and then follow up with that producer. And don't be afraid to follow up. That is the biggest mistake. That's, I want to say, the second biggest mistake that people make is, first, they have a bad headline, and second, they don't follow up. And believe me, we're all busy. If I wanted to get your attention and you didn't know me and I sent you an email that was lame and I never called you, chances are we're never going to do business. But if I send you an exciting email and then I follow up with you two or three times, you're going to take me a little bit more seriously, and at least you're going to recognize my name. So when I call you with another idea, then maybe we'll do business on that one.
Yeah, so persistence is key here, huh?
Absolutely. Persistent is very important. And the other thing is, don't be afraid to use the season for you or to work in your favor, such as, right now, it's still cold and flu season. It's also resolution season. We have February, which is the relationship season because of Valentine's Day. Come March is March Madness for those who keep up with sport. Then April is tax season. So any time between now and April is a great time to talk about money, because you can tie it into resolutions, relationships, and tax season. So if you were going to talk about money, you could say, hey, you could talk about why money breaks up so many marriages and how to keep yours from falling apart. Or you can talk about the new tax strategies for singles, or the new tax strategies for the elderly or whoever, and you can tie that into a story. So here's what I want. The next thing I'm going to talk about real quick is, I would start local. And here's a tip that a lot of people don't know, and this is a free tool that you can use. And let me rephrase that and say, if it's not free, it's going to be just a few hundred dollars a year, but it's well worth it. If you want to start locally before you go globally, I would contact your local press association. It's typically a membership site. A membership association. They meet once a month. And I'm sorry, it's called not a press association, but press club. It's an actual club where journalists and editors and producers meet once a month to talk about stuff that's happening and what's going on in the organizations and what's happening in the media. And you can attend these for free. But again, in some cities, they may ask you to become a member, which might be just $100 or $200 a year. Well worth the investment if you're serious about building relationships with media personalities. This is where the anchors of these TV stations will show up. This is where the producers and executive producers will show up, and you can meet with them face-to-face at zero to minimal cost, and that is a local press club. A lot of people do not know about these organizations, and they're wonderful. It's just you networking with the media, so it's a fantastic place to go, but be prepared. Have your pitch ready. So if you're talking to an executive producer and they say, what do you do? You know, don't start off with, well, I just wrote a book and, you know, I'm kind of just breaking into paintball and you know, I blah, blah, blah. No, just come out and have your pitch ready. I'm a paintball expert, and I talk to audiences about how paintball can change their life, whatever. Just have your pitch ready. Have that headline ready. And don't be afraid to throw it out there and try to engage them. Again, not that you're asking for them to interview you right then, but give that individual reason to possibly put you in their little black book or a good enough of a hook for you guys to talk about doing something together down the road. The other thing is, once you start building a relationship with these people, again, it's like any other form of advertising. You have to be in their face and in their top of mind awareness at least monthly. So obviously you can do that via email. You can do that with a handwritten postcard that nowadays will really stick out because nobody uses it. So let me back up a little bit. So let's say that you get interviewed. You want to say, I would send them a thank you postcard because nobody ever does it. And then send them an email when it's appropriate. And the other thing was, even if you haven't gotten on, you haven't been interviewed by them, think of a reason to contact them. If you do have a book, send them a copy of your book, I like to think of books as a real expensive calling card or business card. Send them a book. If they like you, they like your book, you never know where that's going to go. So maybe send them a copy of your book. Or if you don't want to do that, maybe put a PDF copy of a few chapters together and send them that. But think of a reason to contact that reporter, that producer, that editor once a month. And the more stuff that you can come up with that pertains to their audience, the better it is for you. When I say the more, if you can come up with a complete package, for example, if you were going to demonstrate a new service or you wanted to demonstrate some of your results, I would have some people that are willing to be interviewed and talk about how your reinvention has worked for them, how finding their dream job after 40 or 50 or 60 has really changed their life, how they, how they sleep better and they're more excited and they're more passionate. And so, maybe have what we call, in the industry, it's still called B-roll, but that's just an old term. It just means video. So maybe you have a video of some of your testimonials talking about their results. And so you can deliver all this information all at once. So not only do you have the expert, but you have people who can also be interviewed about the expert, and you're delivering basically all of their homework done for them, and they love that kind of stuff. And so that is another way of telling them not only are you willing to go the extra mile, but that you're a professional, that that, hey, to be considered for their show, you've done all the work. All they have to do is essentially just copy and paste, or all they have to do is, just do a couple of press a couple of buttons, and they already got a show or a news segment for themselves. The other thing I wanted to mention is, as far as being interviewed, some interviews are long, about 8 to 10 minutes long, and that is considered a long interview. I would even say that's a featured interview. If you watch some of your favorite programs, such as CNBC, Fox News, The Today Show, Good Morning America, you watch, they will shift interviews or segments literally every 4 minutes, a long one lasting about 8 minutes. So they go through it really quick. And if you've ever noticed, sometimes they'll even hurry the guest up. Well, we're running out of time, so tell us a little bit more. Tell us, and they're moving quicker and quicker because they're trying to get all that information in as quickly as they can before they run out of time. And that's just the way it is. So an average interview is about 3 to 4 minutes long, and a really long interview might be, 5 to 8 minutes long. The other thing is as you build a relationship, when you're getting things set up, never be afraid to ask for what you want. So some of the things that they're going to ask you for when you do an interview is, how do you want to be quoted and what website do you want to be given out? So you could give out your website. Let's say, for instance, BurtMartinez.com. That's my main website. But if I send somebody there and they don't know what they're looking for, they're going to get lost. Well, so I have another website that, if I'm being interviewed about doubling your sales or sales and marketing in general, I may give out that website. And so that would be, hey, well, this is Burt Martinez, and if you want his free report or his free whatever, go to doublingsales.com, and they can download my free whatever. And the reason I do that is because I want to capture as much viewership as possible. And so whether they're reading it or listening to it or watching it, I give them a website where they can get free stuff in exchange for giving me their name and email address. And keep this in mind, that news organizations do not want to sell your stuff, but they will promote a website if you ask them to, and especially if there's something that they can give away for free. So the other thing that I try to do is not only do I want them to mention my website where their viewers can get something for free, but I'm also going to see if they will put that website as part of their website. So if I can get a news organization to link to my website, that's a little what we call SEO juice. That's just great stuff all the way around. The other thing that works really good, takes a little bit more time, but that is a contest. So if you really want to be perceived as the good guy who is the expert, maybe consider doing a contest. And just about anybody can do a contest. I'm going to use Anastasia. Anastasia could have a contest where maybe we're not looking for a winner per se, but maybe what she's going to do is she's going to align herself with a news organization, and newspapers are really good about this. TV stations want it a little bit faster. That's why I like newspapers for this, but anybody will work, a radio station, a newspaper, a TV station. And Anastasia can say, hey, I will let you pick three random people from your audience, and I will give them an image makeover, or I will show them how they can get their, you know, they can get XYZ result in as little as, you know, 30 days or as little as 2 weeks. And then what Anastasia would want to do is you would want to have a website or a web page ready for that contest where people would go there to register. Well, guess what? It's coming from a news organization. You might have a couple of hundred people register. You're only going to pick three from there. But now you have, you know, a couple of hundred people that are in part of your email system that you might be able to sell your services to. And you've already got this massive stamp of approval. And I've done this multiple times. It works wonderful. I'm doing it for myself personally. I just did it with the Arizona Republic, which is the largest paper in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And so we've just gotten to the point where we picked our three contestants or three candidates. I'm going to turn their business around in less than 30 days. And if I fall on my face, that's okay. We'll talk about why that happened. Of course, I'm not going to let that happen. So the newspaper, the Arizona Republic, is going to do a before and an after. They're interviewing the three businesses that were chosen, and we've gotten some nice media. I'm sorry, we've gotten some nice name recognition. We've gotten hooked up with the local Small Business Administration out there. The newspaper connected us with them, and they emailed their 5,000 members for us several times. Anyway, in a period of a very short time, we had close to 260 people register. Like I said, three of them will be picked or have been picked, and we'll work our magic with those three, report the findings. But now we have roughly a couple hundred people to choose from that may buy our services, buy our books, buy our audios, buy our whatever, and at the same time, we got some great media coverage out of it. So contests or events are a great way to do things to garner a lot of media attention, and there's a lot of ways to stack everything in your favor, so you're going to pick the best possible candidates to get involved with you, so you don't pick somebody that could cause you to look bad. So keep that in mind. Contests are a great way to garner media attention, expertise, headlines, also make yourself some decent money because you're going to pick up a bunch of pre-approved hot leads, and they work really well, and you can do it in multiple cities, and it's a lot of fun. Okay, so I'm just going to kind of wrap it up here, and I think that for those who are listening later on at their leisure, they can contact me again at Bert, B-E-R-T, at BertMartinez.com, and I'll be glad to help you out, send you some headline ideas. But the main thing that we've talked about this whole time is you have to have a catchy headline. Remember that it's about their audience, not about your book or your company, and that follow-up is crucial. Anybody can get on the news. You see it happen all the time. You scratch your head, and you go, how did that person get on the news? Well, sometimes they get on the news because it's whimsical, and we're not looking for whimsical. We're looking because we can deliver good content, get our message out, and help people change their lives. And as long as you can deliver those things, then the news organizations will give you coverage. If they smell as though you're trying to promote yourself or promote your book or promote your services, they won't give you coverage. And even though they know that that's what you want to do, they, you know, you have to make it about their audience and the content that you can deliver to that audience. And again, it's like any other relationship. Once you have that trust, you know, you build it from there. The other thing that I've done to build my relationships is I tell them quite frequently, hey, if I can help you in any way, if I can be a source for you in any way, let me know. Even though I may not have the answer, if they're looking for somebody who wants to talk about fitness, that's not my area of expertise, but I will help them find a fitness expert. So let them know that you're of service to them in other ways other than just your area of expertise. I mentioned being in contact with them on a monthly basis. That's crucial. You know, put it like this. I have about maybe 30 or 40 media contacts, and I'm the only one that sent them a Thanksgiving card. Nobody, you know, typically nobody ever sends out cards for Thanksgiving. They typically do it for other holidays. So I sent everybody a Thanksgiving card. It's got my picture on it, and it looks like it was handwritten by a small child, and it was very funny. And I got, you know, sent it to everybody via mail, and I probably got about 10 people who got my card and said thank you. Most of them who said thank you said they have never gotten one for Thanksgiving. And again, I'm in their top of mind awareness for a few dollars. And I had one of the reporters that I sent a card out to told me that she is launching a blog. She is an editor for Cranes New York, and she's launching a blog. She wants to know if I would like to contribute to that blog as a business expert. Certainly. So you never know what comes out of building that relationship. Don't be afraid to say hello to them for the holidays. And again, let them know that you're there, because just like any other brand name, the minute they stop hearing from you, you're dead, you're forgotten, and you almost have to start from scratch again. Yeah, Go ahead.
I was just going to say, those are such good points, Bert.
Thank you, Vicki. And so, guys, bottom line is, number one, 80% of your success is going to be in that headline. Next is going to be in the follow-up. You're going to let them know that you're there to serve their audience and not serve yourself. And then just follow up. And then I guarantee you that you'll get publicity for your book or for other things that you do. Consider the contest. It's a great way to really garner that attention. And again, if you have any questions, if you have some ideas, you know, send me an email, bert@bertmartinez.com. I'll be glad to help you. And I look forward to meeting you guys in person.
Bert, thank you again for joining us. It's just always a pleasure to spend time with you. And thank you for being so gracious with your time today.
Thank you, Vicki. I enjoyed it. I hope to get some other questions from everybody, and I look forward to meeting with you guys later.
Thanks so much, everyone.